Hello, Disney fans, and welcome to the show. My name is Austin Terrace, and I'm joined here today by my two wonderful sisters, Kylie.
Hey, everybody.
And Emma.
Hi, everyone.
Coming up on this episode of Disney Daydream, Disney World rolls out a special package offer for 2021 trips, and a huge slate of projects were announced for Disney Plus at Investor Day 2020. Later on, we'll give you a complete overview of Riviera Resort. So, take a little break in your busy day, and let's start daydreaming. Please remember to follow our show on social media. You can like our Facebook page, Disney Daydream Podcast. Follow our Instagram account at DizDaydream. Our email is DizDaydream@gmail.com. And we do have a Patreon page for people who are interested in financially supporting our show. We really appreciate our patrons, and you can find us at patreon.com/DisneyDaydream. We offer those patrons special perks like free merchandise and access to exclusive mini episodes for their support. Our show is sponsored by our wonderful patrons and by Daydream Travel Agency. Your experts at planning the perfect trip to Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, or Aulani. Head on over to daydreamtravelagency.com for more information, to request a quote, or to use any of those free travel planning services. To all our listeners out there, we hope that you had a very nice holiday. Whether you're celebrating Christmas, Hanukkah, or something else, we hope that you were able to find some peace and happiness in this crazy year and get to see at least maybe some of your family members. We're actually recording this episode on Christmas night, and yeah. It was a wonderful day, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it really was. Guess what we watched? We watched Soul.
We did. We've just come from watching Soul. We will definitely go in depth about that on one of our news topics for next episode. I want to be able to digest it a little bit and probably watch it for a second time before saying too much about it. Plus, I'm sure a lot of you need some time to stream it on Disney Plus, so we'll talk about that very soon. There is like a massive news story that we chose to break up into two separate news stories. Investor Day 2020 was pretty much like all about Disney Plus things and new stuff, new Star Wars, Marvel, and I mean a new slate of Disney shows and movies. So we're going to talk a lot about that. But before that, I wanted to mention a special package offer for 2021 trips that recently came out. Sometimes Disney releases these packages and they don't feel too special at all, but sometimes they release a deal that you'll really want to jump on immediately. And this time around, it's the latter. Starting on January 5th, Disney World is offering a Happy New Year package for 2021, offering guests two additional free days of park tickets if you purchase a non-discounted room and ticket package. This special deal will be available for most nights starting January 8th through September 25th, and the offer excludes three-bedroom villas, villas at the Grand Floridian, campsites at Fort Wilderness, cabins at Copper Creek Villas, and Wilderness Lodge as a whole, and then the bungalows at the Polynesian. So those are the only room types that are excluded, and there is a minimum length of stay requirement. So you'll have to get a package that is initially at least four nights at the resort and 3 days of park tickets, And for example, if you actually choose to book that, then automatically your package will turn into 4 nights at the resort and 5 days of park tickets. And the fourth and fifth day of those park tickets will be free for you. You can actually book the package, though, for stays as long as 14 nights. And one of the fantastic parts about this package is that it can be applied to any resort category. So it's not one of those situations where Disney's forcing you to stay in one of their most expensive resorts in order to take advantage of a package. You'll be able to book the values for this as well. I do think one important detail to keep in mind is that adding park ticket days becomes progressively less expensive. So this deal is going to save you the most money if you're staying for a shorter period of time. If you're taking a super long trip and you want a lot of days in the park, then it's going to save you less money. So for example, if you're thinking about spending 4 days in the theme parks in June, your tickets are going to cost about $117 per day. But if you want to spend 7 days in the theme parks in June, your tickets will cost only about $77 per day. So that's a pretty drastic difference. And getting that free fifth and sixth day in the park is a lot more financially valuable than getting that free eighth and ninth day. So if you're traveling earlier in the year and you do want to stay for longer than about a week, then I would suggest taking advantage of a room discount that Disney's offering through the month of April. And depending on what resort you stay at, you can save potentially up to 35% on your resort accommodation. So in this case, if you're staying for a long period of time, that'll definitely save you more money than a couple free days of park tickets. But that's a pretty exciting offer, isn't it? And I mean, if you're traveling with a larger family and you're buying essentially a 3-day park ticket pass that is automatically turned into a 5-day park ticket pass, that's the savings of quite a few $100s right there.
Yeah, that could be huge for those larger families that are trying to work travel back into their budgets after a crazy financial year for so many families. I'm glad that they're releasing some packages that are actually going to help some families be able to travel again.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like Disney World is pretty confident that they're going to continue this return to normal slowly in revamping up park attendance, because this deal, along with the straight up room discount deal, are two that have been released about in the last month that apply outside of like Florida residents and annual pass holders. Mm. There were a lot of things trying to get those people to come to the parks. And now we're just seeing some general deals trying to get a lot of people from out of state to consider coming back to the parks as well. So Disney's continuing to kind of revamp things and reach out. And along with the return of park hopping, there are certain things that are beginning to kind of return to how they once were. All right, let's get into Investor Day 2020 and all of the really kind of exciting news that's been dropped across the streaming universe here. Kylie's going to take us through the Star Wars and Marvel upcoming projects first. So let's hop right into it, Kylie. What does Disney have coming in the future?
So starting with Star Wars, the first show is called Andor. And this is going to be coming sometime in 2022. It is a series prequel to Rogue One, the movie that was previously released. And then the showrunner is going to be Tony Gilroy. I'm super excited for this one. I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, but I really enjoyed Rogue One. I would say that's probably my favorite Star Wars movie. So I think this is going to be great. I'm excited for that one. Next up is Obi-Wan Kenobi. This is coming sometime in 2022 as well. And it takes place 10 years after Revenge of the Sith, prior to A New Hope. And Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen will be reprising their roles from the prequels as Obi-Wan and Darth Vader. So love when they bring back the original cast members for that. The showrunner is going to be Joby Harold for that one.
That's kind of exciting to me because I just really love Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
And he's such a good actor. So it'll be exciting to see what he does, you know, back in that role again after so many years away.
The next up is going to be Ahsoka. This is a Mandalorian spinoff, and this series will follow the beloved character from the show and take place within the timeline of The Mandalorian. As of right now, there is no release date or showrunner for this one, so this is very early in the planning stages. And then the second Mandalorian spinoff that is coming is Star Wars Rangers of the New Republic. This plotline has not been officially announced, but people are speculating that it will be about the Sector Rangers, which is an intergalactic police force that is founded by the Galactic Republic. And this show will also be set within the timeline of The Mandalorian, and no release date or showrunner have been released yet. Next up is an animated series. This is going to be called Star Wars The Bad Batch, and it is a continuation of the Clone Wars series that people have loved so much previously. This will take place after the Clone Wars and follows the experimental clones of the Bad Batch that were introduced at the end of the Clone Wars. And Clone Wars writer and producer Dave Filoni will be returning for this series as well, so he is going to continue with that.
I might have to check out that animated series. I do hear people talking about it a lot, and it seems like people love it, so yeah. Be interesting to watch.
For sure. The Acolyte is the next show that is coming, and this has been described as a new mystery thriller series and will be set in the final days of the High Republic era. The story will have a female lead and take viewers into a galaxy of shadowy secrets and emerging dark side powers. Leslie Headland was hired to write, direct, and showrun this new series, but no release date has been announced for it yet. Next up, we have Lando, and few details have been announced about this one as well, but Justin Simien is in the early stages of developing a series about Lando Calrissian, and it is unclear if Donald Glover will be recasted as Lando, but hopefully he will be, since they're bringing back some original actors in some of their other series. Next up, we have Star Wars Visions, and this is going to be a new anime series. Disney is stepping into the world of anime, and it will be comprised of 10 short films and will debut in 2021. Next up, we have A Droid Story. This is another animated series, and it will introduce a new hero that is guided by C-3PO and R2-D2, two of my favorite Star Wars characters, so I'm excited to see them get their own show.
Yeah, that needed to happen.
Yes,
I think. Sure.
And last up, we have Rogue Squadron. This is the next installment of the Star Wars movie franchise. And this movie was described as a story that will introduce a new generation of starfighter pilots as they earn their wings and risk their lives in a boundary-pushing, high-speed thrill ride. The legend of Rogue Squadron has been long beloved by Star Wars fans and will move us into a future era of the galaxy. This is set to premiere December 2023 and will be directed by Patty Jenkins. So that is all that was announced for Star Wars. That is a ton, not a lot with official release dates, but we at least know these are in the works. So that's some exciting news for Star Wars fans.
Thinking about anything in 2023 just makes me sick. Like, I can't believe that things are being planned for that year. It just seems crazy, but oh. And they're getting into anime?
Yeah.
Wow. That's bold. Yeah.
The creators or the people working on the team are Japanese, like, anime.
Okay, that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And because I'm not just...
Yeah.
It's not just, like... The Pixar creators trying to, like, figure out anime.
Good. That was kind of going to be my comment. Yeah. Like, as a person who has recently been kind of watching a few anime series, it would be disappointing to see them do, like, a watered-down version. Like, if you're going to go for it, like, go all out and make it a legitimate anime series. So okay, that has piqued my interest as well. Let's head into the Marvel projects.
First up, we have Secret Invasion. This was a new announcement. This will be starring Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury, and it is about a sect of Skrulls who have infiltrated every level of life on Earth. There is no release date for this new series.
Next up is Ironheart. This was also a new announcement, and it will center around character Riri Williams, played by Dominique Thorne. She is a genius inventor who has the most advanced suit of armor since Iron Man, so kind of a spin off of Iron Man. And again, no release date, but Ironheart and Secret Invasion will tie directly into the Marvel Cinematic Universe film movies. So we might see some of those characters start to appear in the films as well.
Wow. Is that a new character?
Yeah.
Or okay.
Next up, we have Armor Wars. This was also a new announcement. This will be starring Don Cheadle as War Machine or James Rhodes. And in this show, Tony Stark's worst fear comes true when his tech falls into the wrong hands. Again, no release date for this one. And now getting into some of the shows that we knew about, we got some awesome updates for those. First, we have WandaVision. This will be coming to Disney Plus on January 15th, 2021. The trailer was released for this show, and it will be the first Marvel series to debut on Disney Plus, and will kick start phase 4 of the MCU. So that's pretty exciting. I cannot wait to watch this show. I'm a huge Marvel fan, so I'm really excited about all of these. Next up, we have The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And this is a 6-episode series about the aftermath of Endgame. It will release March 19th, 2021, and it will star Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan, the original characters from the movies. And an exclusive first look was released to the investors. So that is on YouTube if you want to check that out. Next, we have Loki. This premieres in May of 2021. An exclusive clip was shown for this as well. It's described as a crime thriller series, and obviously it features Loki, brother of Thor, and the series will star Tom Hiddleston as Loki. Excited for that one as well. I also love Loki. He's a great character. Next, we have What If, and this is an animated series coming summer of 2021. It will explore what if scenarios in the MCU, and an exclusive first look was released for this one as well. I'm excited about this.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Because everybody probably always wonders that.
Yeah.
And, you know, people really deep into the Marvel Universe, I'm sure, go through these scenarios all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should be really cool. It's also interesting that they're animating this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be fun, just to change things up.
It's probably the only feasible, yeah, like, financial option.
Yeah. Next up is Ms. Marvel. This is a miniseries adaptation of the Ms. Marvel comics, and it is set to premiere in late 2021. And then Hawkeye. This one is going to release in late 2021 as well, and it will star Jeremy Renner, Vera Farmiga, Frey Fee, Alakwa Cox, and Haley Steinfeld. And this show is directed by Rhys Thomas and Burton Birdie. Love Hawkeye, so I'm excited for him to finally get his own little spinoff there. And then we have She-Hulk. This will be directed by Kat Corio and Anu Valia. And She-Hulk will be played by Tatiana Maslany, and Mark Ruffalo will also be returning to the show, but there is no release date for this one yet. This one I am excited about. It is called Moon Knight, and it is about a character, Mark Spector, aka Moon Knight, who is a vigilante who suffers from dissociative identity disorder. And these identities will all be distinct characters in the series. I think this has a lot of potential to be really cool and just a unique superhero story that hasn't been done yet.
Yeah, I mean, I actually know a bit. Well, I've researched dissociative identity disorder, and there's not a lot of good representation of it in the media. So I'm hoping that it will be more of a positive take on it, because a lot of the representation right now is like the villain, like in Split.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that has potential to be something entertaining and like helpful as well.
Informative.
But yeah. Who knows?
We'll see.
Yeah.
Hopefully they do a good job. This does not have a release date either. And lastly, I Am Groot. This is a series of shorts that will explore Baby Groot's adventures. So how could you not love that? We all love Baby Groot.
Yeah.
We do. Yes. Even though he's lost some of the spotlight to Baby Yoda.
Yes.
But still, very cute character. Whew. That was a ton of stuff. Yeah.
Lots coming.
Dang. All right. Well, let's go through, and Emma, since we're running long, how about we save some of the actual movie projects for next time, and we can just cover what the Disney television studios will be creating and releasing to Disney Plus in the coming years.
So starting off with the Disney television, there's going to be Beauty and the Beast, which is a working title. And that stars Luke Evans and Josh Gad, with new music composed by Alan Menken. Swiss Family Robinson is being reimagined by Ron Moore and John M. Chu. Then I know a lot of people that are really excited about this. The Percy Jackson and the Olympian series, which is obviously based on the book series. I think that'll be really interesting.
Hopefully it's better than the first attempt.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Oh my gosh.
Those were movies, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awful. So I was so sad. I loved those books in middle school, and then they released the movie. I thought it was going to be like a Harry Potter situation, and it was just not well done.
That's too bad.
So hopefully they redo it and do it justice, because it's a great series.
I feel like it would probably be easier to do it as like a television series, because the books are really long.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anyways, next up, The Mighty Ducks Game Changers. And I guess it picks up where the movies left off. Never seen it.
Yeah, that's my only question about this. Like, mm-hmm. who is that series for at the moment?
The people that stay at
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Sports.
The Mighty Ducks section of
I guess
All-Star Resort.
Because there are people that love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like those people are
older
now.
Yeah.
And I would need to definitely watch that movie again to even be able to talk about it at all.
Maybe they're trying to find ways to get older populations to watch Disney Plus.
Could be.
Right now, a critique I hear a lot about Disney Plus is that it's for young kids. And there isn't much adult content.
Yeah, but that's also just an issue with Disney's brand too, because they're never going to, you have to still be true to yourself.
Yeah.
And they're never going to compete with the type of content that somebody can just find on Prime or
Netflix
or, exactly. You know, or HBO.
Agreed.
That's just a different type of entertainment, honestly. But I guess that's a different discussion. Let's keep going.
All right. Next is Turner and Hooch, which is a buddy comedy starring Josh Peck and his partner, who is a sweet and slobbery mastiff. Which is
no way, Josh Peck.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's go. Yeah.
Drake and Josh.
Yeah, love that.
But yeah, if you don't know, that's a dog breed. I had to look it up because I don't know many dog
breeds.
Pretty
sure it's Mastiff.
Yeah, Mastiff.
Mastiff.
Huge dogs.
Bull Mastiffs. That's like, isn't that, what was that?
Marmaduke.
No.
That's a St. Bernard, right?
Beethoven.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Right? Remember that old dog movie? Uh-huh. I think that's a Bull Mastiff.
Okay.
Anyway, continue.
Okay, next up is Big Shot, which is a celebration of girl power set in the world of high school basketball, starring John Stamos, Yvette Nicole Brown, and Jesselyn Gilsig. Next up is The Mysterious Benedict Society, and that is based on the book series with Tony Hale and Kristen Schaal. And then we also have Disney Animations First series, Baymax, Zootopia Plus and Tiana, which are all coming out in 2022. And then Moana the series, which is coming out in 2023.
What? Moana the series? Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are... I want to be excited for these, but I'm kind of skeptical, too.
Me, too.
Because it just seems like any movie that is then turned into a series, it just gets really bad. Although I've heard some things about, like, the Tangled Ever... What's it called? Tangled Ever After or something like that.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it. I've heard things about the music that are apparently good, but I don't know. So
the thing is, I love Tangled, but I just don't want to watch the series. Like,
I don't like that they changed the animation.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
But I think Zootopia Plus could be cool because they could do like a lot of different things that don't feature the same characters.
Yeah.
And just explore the world, because I think so many people were like so intrigued by that world.
Right.
That could have a lot of potential.
Yeah. The other ones are kind of more skeptical than Zootopia because, yeah, it's also part of like, is there another story in this world to tell?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the Baymax one could probably work, but it'd probably be pretty basic, them just like fighting crimes or whatever.
Yeah, anytime there's a superhero, you can make tons and tons of movies.
Yeah. Yeah. The toughest one to do well, I think, will be Tiana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just seems like that's kind of a open and shut story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And whenever you're going to really add something to that, you have to be kind of careful that you're doing it well.
Yeah.
So this next one, we aren't 100% sure on how to pronounce this, but I think it's Iwaju. It's produced in collaboration with the Pan-African comic book entertainment company called Kujali. Again, not 100% sure how to pronounce it.
I think Kugali, but
yeah.
Anyway.
Kugali.
Kind of excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll definitely be something new.
Mm-hmm. This is just another issue, like, with Disney Channel for me. And I know, like, Disney Channel's going away, and some of the same ideas are being incorporated into new programs for Disney Plus. But I've never been hugely excited by Disney's television programming.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be happy if I end up liking one of these shows.
Yeah.
Because even right now, I'm not super excited about any of the list that was just read.
Yeah.
I feel bad, but it's true.
So moving on to the Pixar series, television series that are being made. Pixar's first ever long form animated series is Win or Lose, which follows a middle school softball team in the week leading up to their championship game, and each episode is told from the perspective of a different character. And I think that's really cool. I think that's a cool idea. I mean, I'm not really into sports, but I still think that's a good idea. And
yeah, that's a great idea. And I think they're onto something here. I think they should be working to do more long-form storytelling over, like, a limited-run series.
Right, yeah.
Because some things, instead of telling it in 2 hours, you could tell a more full story in 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you need to go make a 20-episode, like, TV season about something, but you could really dive into some nuanced storytelling over 8 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Next up, we have Doug Days, which is an Up spinoff series, where Doug discovers the dangers of suburbia, like puppies, fireworks, and squirrels. I feel like that is probably going to be bad, but I like the concept.
Doug's a funny character,
yes.
But I don't know how much repeatability there is there.
Yeah. It's going to be like the same thing every time.
That reminds me of Forky Asks a Question.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Anyway, continue.
And then the last series that Pixar is making is Cars. Not sure what the name of it will be, but it's a new series that follows Lightning McQueen and Mater on a road trip across the country.
Of course there's a Cars thing.
Mm-hmm. That's the least surprising thing
I've heard all day.
Yeah, definitely.
How many Cars things can we make?
There are way too many movies and...
Shorts. And, yeah.
I don't know.
Give it a rest. At least I'm super excited for Win or Lose.
Mm-hmm.
That's one out of three.
Mm-hmm.
Not too bad. All right, so we will hold off on some of the movie stuff for next episode, and we'll talk about Soul next episode. Stay tuned, though, because our topic today is an overview of the Riviera Resort. Everything you need to know if you're considering staying there for your accommodation. That topic is coming right up. So we have discussed the Riviera Resort in new segments early on in the show, because a few months after we started Disney Daydream, this was kind of the big thing that was happening. Another DVC resort opening, it was Riviera, and the resort actually just celebrated its 1 year anniversary a couple weeks ago. So hasn't been around for very long. Emma's gonna take us through the history, the layout, and the transportation available at this resort.
So this resort was one of the two resorts announced at the D23 Expo in 2017, along with the Galactic Star Cruiser. It's also the first entirely new vacation club built since Aulani that opened in 2011. It's the first newly constructed resort to be served by the Skyliner, and it's the 15th DVC property to be built. The Riviera is inspired by Walt's trips to Europe and the love of the French and Italian Riviera. The resort opened on December 16th, 2019. So, yeah, it's been a year and a couple weeks, so that's very exciting.
Rough year to be open, though.
True.
Yeah, actually wasn't open for much of the year.
Yeah. Got a couple months in there, you know. But so the Riviera Resort is located between Epcot and Hollywood Studios, and it's technically in the Epcot Resort area. There are 300 rooms in this resort, with room types ranging from tower or deluxe studios to 1, 2, or 3-bedroom villas, which have accommodations for up to 12 people. Guests have easy access to common areas, recreation, shopping, and dining from the resort rooms. The layout of this resort is basically just like a typical hotel, but there is the West Wing and the East Wing where the rooms are located. The Skyliner station is on the west side of the building. The pools, activity lawn, fire pit, and other recreation are all located behind the building and overlooking Barefoot Bay. The dining areas are for the most part located on the east side of the hotel.
So if you think about Old Key West in last episode, that layout, building spread over a massive area.
Yeah, exact opposite. Nothing like that.
One big building.
So as for transportation, like I mentioned before, this resort is connected to the Skyliner, and it has very quick access to Epcot and Hollywood Studios because of that. Bus transportation is also available to get to Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom, as well as other resorts. And the bus stations are located at the front of the resort. The Riviera is also located very close to Caribbean Beach Resort, so you can actually walk there to access their restaurants and amenities.
Yeah, being right on the Skyliner is a huge plus. Yeah. Also, like we mentioned before in one of our very early episodes, this resort has the most gorgeous mosaic that you could ever hope to see, and the walkway leading to the Skyliner. It's just beautiful. I think transportation is great here because of the Skyliner, but also just because the Epcot resorts are so close to two theme parks and a lot of other entertainment.
And I mean, you just have so many options. Like, you can walk, you can bus, you can Skyliner, you can Skyliner to Epcot, and then monorail to Magic Kingdom if you wanted to, like, really avoid the bus system. Fancy. Like, There just are really endless options when you're in that resort area. So,
all right, Kylie, take us through some of the dining, pool, shopping, and entertainment offerings that go on here.
All right, we will start with Bar Riva. This is the pool bar, and it is a quick service restaurant. It has a substantial menu for a pool bar. I was impressed by it. All kinds of drinks, anything you could want, but they also have sandwiches, salads, desserts, and other little bar snack appetizer type things. So pretty good food menu as well. This is a cool dining location just because it's different than most pool bars. It's not like a little shack. It's like an open air restaurant that you can walk into that looks like a shop you would find on the streets of Europe somewhere. I like how they did that. Next up, we have Topolino's Terrace. This is the rooftop restaurant, and it has French and Italian cuisine with beautiful rooftop views. It is a signature dining restaurant for dinner with a business casual dress code, so they request that you wear collared shirts, only jeans if they're in good condition, things like that. That's literally what it said. Nice. Jeans if in good condition. And then for breakfast, they are a character dining location with the breakfast a la art with Mickey and friends. And I have heard nothing but positive things about this. It's not a buffet, which is a huge plus.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the Disney characters are dressed in cute little artist outfits. I think we've talked about this before.
We have. And people do seem to love this.
I would love to try this one out. Not to mention you get great views while you're eating. So that's always a plus.
Yeah.
Next up is Le Petit Café. This is an American quick service restaurant in the lobby. It is a cafe and bakery in the morning, and then it becomes a lounge location at night, just serving appetizers and things like that. And then we have Primo Piatto. This is the American quick service and mobile ordering restaurant on site. It's the main quick service location. So think all Disney Resort food courts. That's the one for this location. They serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But something that's kind of nice about this one is the mobile ordering option. I've heard that it's like really efficient, and they also give you a tracker to put at your table once you order, so they actually bring the food to you still, even though you order at the quick service counter. So that's cool too.
Yeah, that's cool. I honestly have not heard anything about any of these places besides Topolino's, which have been pretty overwhelmingly positive. But I think part of that's because the resort just hasn't been open for very long. Yeah. Although it is pretty cool that they have a bar with a lot of food options to go along with it, because there are some deluxe resorts that don't really have any good quick service options.
Yep.
So the fact that this has Primo Piatto and Bar Riva along with a lobby cafe is pretty cool.
Yep. Moving into the pools, there are two on this resort. There's the Riviera pool, which is the main pool. It is a zero entry pool with a large column tower as the focal point, and then the water slide wraps around the tower. All of the buildings around the pool have stucco finishings, and there's also a splash pad in the area. And this is the Sivu Play splash pad, inspired by the grand public fountains of Europe. It includes a ballet of friendly Fantasia characters. Looks really cute. And then there is a leisure pool, which is the Beau Soleil pool, which I should mention is really not too far from the main pool location.
No, because the resort's literally one huge building.
Yeah.
It's not that far away.
It's literally just like across the little walkway, kind of.
It's just around
the corner. Yeah. So I'm not sure how much quieter it would be, but it is more catered towards adults. No water slide.
No. Yeah, very plain. But how would you rate the main pool in the grand scheme of Walt Disney World Resort pools?
Okay. I would rate the splash pad high on the resort pool category, but the actual pool probably middle middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, the tower's cool, but I would say, like, besides that, there's not a ton of theming.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I'd average. Agree there.
Your only shopping option at the Riviera is La Boutique. This is a pretty small gift shop, but they do have Riviera-specific merch. Because it's a DVC resort, they have groceries and obviously your toiletries as well. They have the artist character plushies, which is super fun. I love that. And then something super unique for this resort is they have a machine where you can buy artwork from around the resort. You can get prints, canvases, and even get those framed. You just scroll through the machine, select the one you want, and it prints out for you, which is really unique.
That's really cool. Yeah.
We raved about that when we covered this resort when it opened, and I'd be all over that. It's a great idea.
Yep. Last up, recreation options. There's the Athletic Fitness Center. There's an activity lawn where they have giant lawn games, blow-ups, and movies on the lawn every day. So that's kind of fun. And they have a fire pit. There's the Voyager's Lounge, which is connected to La Petite Cafe. And the decor is inspired by things that Walt gathered on his tours around Europe. So that's cool to check out. There's a jogging trail that takes you all the way around Barefoot Bay. And then two things actually that are really unique to this resort. There's a chess lawn where you can play giant chess.
That is so cool.
And a bocce ball court. Some fun little European touches there.
Yep. Wonderful. All right. Heading into the rooms themselves. Remember, this resort is a DVC exclusive resort, so it's not going to have the traditional hotel rooms available. The smallest room category are the Tower Studios. The Riviera introduced this brand new room category, and it looks like it is here to stay. As far as we know, more Tower Studios will also be built in the DVC Tower out in California that is still theoretically being made. These studios sleep only 2 people, and they're cheaper and much smaller options than normal studios at 250 square feet. And a lot of that comes in the massive bathroom. There isn't a lot of space. The kitchenette with a small refrigerator, wet bar, microwave, toaster, and coffee maker is part of a built-in shelving area near the bed, which is actually a queen-size pull-down bed. Across from the sofa/bed, there's a flat-screen TV, 2 ottomans, and a very small desk. The floors are wood, and the planks are arranged in a really cool pattern. The closet is across from the vanity, and it's pretty large, and the rest of the bathroom is gorgeous. It's elegant, has marble floors, contains a massive shower, also finished in marble, and a rainfall showerhead. You don't lose out on a balcony either if you book this room. Each Tower Studio has a small porch or balcony, but you'll definitely want to book a room on one of the higher floors if you want any type of view. The Tower Studios technically don't have a view. It's not standard or preferred. It's just located in one little tower of the resort. And if you want to see anything, you need to be higher than like floor 4. A lot of people seem to dislike this room type because of the square footage. I actually think the room is plenty big enough if you're looking for a shorter stay and if you're a couple. My complaint with this is that the finishings don't feel quite as luxurious as the other villas at Riviera. It looks a little bit more plain. For example, the artwork is severely lacking in this room. The only cool piece of art that you really see, the darling children flying away to Neverland, that's only revealed when you pull the bed down. So usually, you know, if you're just kind of relaxing during the day, you might not even see it. Although, honestly, I'd probably keep the bed down the whole time. I don't really see the purpose in a hotel room of just having a couch out, you know?
Yeah.
moving to the regular deluxe studios that we mention a lot when we're talking about a DVC resort. These can sleep 5 people in a queen-size bed, queen-size pull-down bed, and a single Murphy bed. The entryway has wood floors, and you'll find the closet to your right and the bathroom to your left. this is a split bathroom situation, which is nice when multiple people need to get ready in the morning. One bathroom has the toilet and a beautiful marble shower with rainfall showerhead, while the other has a single vanity and a shower bathtub combination. There's a dedicated area for the kitchenette, and there's even an attractive backsplash on it. The main living area is carpeted, which for now I don't hate. You just, you know, hope that the pattern holds up over the wear and tear of many years of being in a resort. I absolutely love the elegant headboard over the bed, and the artwork around the room will clearly remind you of the French and Italian Riviera. The art includes thoughtful Disney touches, like French posters that feature classic characters that almost look like playbills, and paintings that look like traditional European landscapes, but they're actually taken from the Cars 2 movie, and it showcases a very tiny Lightning McQueen in the bottom left-hand corner.
That's cool.
Really cool piece of art, and that's like a classic old-fashioned Hidden Mickey type of thing.
Yeah.
Although, technically, Hidden Lightning McQueen. It's still nice. All of the rooms have a balcony. There's plenty of underbed storage, a coffee table, desk with two chairs, and a pull-out sofa that looks pretty decent, although there's still room for improvement. I like that the theming for these rooms is right on point. When you walk in, you'll certainly feel transported to the Mediterranean coast, and you'll definitely appreciate the classy light fixtures and crown molding that's surrounding the ceiling. For the one-bedroom villas, the level of elegance is cranked up a notch as we start to head to the larger villas at Riviera. The entryway is much larger, the wood floor extends all the way through the living area, and there are mirrors that have been manipulated to look like antiques. It still sleeps five in a queen-size bed in the main bedroom, and then a queen-size pull-out bed and Murphy bed in the main living room. Like all DVC one-bedroom villas, there's a full-sized kitchen with large appliances, along with a stacked washer and dryer. You have a cute breakfast nook, an ottoman, plenty of extra seating, a really cool area rug by the sofa. And finally, in the one-bedroom villas and up, Disney has purchased a really nice-looking sofa.
Yay!
Woohoo!
Gorgeous. I'm not that great with colors, listeners. I am colorblind. I believe the sofa is a lighter purple. And you know what? It just looks comfortable. It enhances the theme. And it looks expensive. Like, all you want is to see a couch in Disney that looks expensive.
Yeah.
And this one does. So, thank goodness. You get more crown molding in these rooms, windows that extend basically from the floor to the ceiling, and a rather large balcony that will certainly fit all five people. The bedroom has the same carpet as the studios, a really cute nightstand, another gorgeous headboard that is different than the studios, flat screen TV, and ornamented barn doors that open into the bathroom. In one section of the bathroom, you have a beautiful bathtub with bubble jets in your single vanity. And in the other, you have the toilet and the same type of shower as the studios. And of course, there's fabulous marble detailing throughout the bathroom. There are dedicated and lock-off two-bedroom villas at Riviera. The lock-offs are simply the studios combined with the one-bedrooms, and those sleep 10. But the dedicated two bedrooms have a slightly different configuration, and they sleep 9. So I'm going to talk about the dedicated ones. The foyer entryway is huge. The second bedroom is on the left, and the master bathroom is on the right after you walk in. If you continue straight, you'll walk into the full-size kitchen. The bathroom connected to the second bedroom still has those two separate areas that I talked about before. There are queen-size beds in there, two of them, wonderful headboards, a couple chairs, a flat-screen TV, and a pretty large wardrobe. The main living room and master bedroom look just like the ones in the one-bedroom villa, and I just want to mention that I love the little print that's on the bench in the dining nook area. It's a print of different locations around the Riviera Resort, and above that is a piece of art that features Remy preparing what looks like some type of apple pie. It's probably like a galette, like a French pastry, but I don't know. But it's really cute, and I love me some Remy. So.
Oh, yeah.
And last but not least, the three-bedroom grand villa. With these types of things, you really just want to watch a vlog because it gets difficult to describe how nice these places are. Mm-hmm. It sleeps up to 12, and the sleeping arrangements are a king-size bed, 4 queen-size beds, queen-size sleeper sofa. There's a massive dining room with a table that could host the most fancy dinner party you could ever want to attend. You have access to multiple balconies, beautiful marble bathrooms, of course, a living room with plenty of seating options, a kitchen that has just about the largest island that I've ever seen. Beautiful artwork is featured throughout the villa, my favorite being a Wally painting that's located above the bed in one of the guest bedrooms. The attention to detail is just really astounding, so do yourself a favor, actually watch a vlog, because describing it doesn't do justice, and that goes for pretty much any three-bedroom grand villa. So, getting into the disappointing stuff, pricing. Like I mentioned, there are only 2 types of room views, standard and preferred. The standard views will essentially be looking at landscaping or the parking lot, and then the preferred views will feature the pool. You might see the Skyliner, Caribbean Beach, or you might get a glimpse right across at Barefoot Bay. So the Tower Studios, value season, they go for as low as $440 a night. During the summer, you'll pay around $530 a night. And during peak season, which would be Christmas, New Year's, spring break, you'll pay around $715 per night. The Deluxe Studios, for a standard view, during value season, $650 per night. During the summer, $705 per night, and during peak season, $1,000 per night. The standard kind of increase in price from the standard view to the preferred view is around $100 a night, a little bit more as we get into the larger rooms. So just do that math if you want to know what the preferred view would cost. The one-bedroom standard views during value season, they go for about $925 per night. During summer, about $1,000 per night, and during peak season, about $1,370 per night. The two-bedroom standard views during value season are at about $1,440 per night. During summer, $1,520 per night. In peak season, about $2,150 per night. And last but not least, the three-bedroom grand villas. During value season, about $3,000 per night. During the summer, $3,300, and during peak season, $4,550 per night. In terms of who might enjoy this resort, I'd have to say people looking for that sense of elegance, mm-hmm. people who enjoy Epcot festivals, couples,
yeah,
and anyone who kind of wants to just have a taste of the luxury Disney experience, because this is a resort that's not really overly heavily themed.
Yeah, in my opinion, this is one of the most, if not the most, luxurious Disney resorts, as it should be, being the newest. You know, like, I would hope that they would do it well, but so yeah, it definitely, if you're looking, like we've talked in previous episodes in this series about like that 5-star quality. And I feel like the Riviera gets close to that.
Yeah, I think the Riviera has what the Grand Floridian wishes it had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, certainly the hotel side of the Grand Floridian.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
I'm just a little bit disappointed with the pricing of this resort. And that makes sense because mostly deluxe resorts are way overpriced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it is the newest resort.
Yeah.
So you know the price is going to be high. It's still not as high as what you'd pay at the Grand Floridian or at the Contemporary, you know, but it's up there. It's getting close to that number. And unless you're a DVC member, though, or you're renting points, I just personally don't understand why you would book here with those prices. because my recommendation would be to just get a touch less of luxury, but save a ton of money and stay at Grand Destino Tower.
Because
if you consider, like, if I'm going to Disney with my girlfriend and we want, like, that upscale experience, why would I pay $500 a night for a tower studio when I could have, like, nearly twice the amount of space in a regular, really, really nice hotel room at Grand Destino Tower, and I'd save probably close to $200 a night, $150 per night, you know?
Yeah, so. Grand Destino Tower actually came to mind when I was thinking about the most luxurious resorts, which is funny because it's not even a deluxe resort.
Yeah, it's in the moderate category, and the prices, I mean, the prices for that are definitely way lower than a lot of the deluxes, so that's a really great option. Maybe the exception would be if you have a really big party, if you're bringing 8 or 9 people and you actually need, it's going to be, I'm getting a 2-bedroom studio or I'm booking 2 separate hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Then maybe you look at this and you want to stay together. But that's just my only complaint. However, I love the area. Love the Epcot Resort area.
I love the area, but I also think the views are lacking for the price too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I don't necessarily like that you're looking right into another resort's property.
Yeah, that's really weird. I mean,
like, I think that, and I don't know, I haven't been there. So, like, I just feel like it's different with, like, Boardwalk looking over at Beach Club Yacht Club because they're just stunning, like, architecturally to look at. And then Beach Club Yacht Club looking over at Boardwalk, you see the fun, like, Boardwalk vibe, not necessarily the resort
part.
But with Caribbean Beach, it's like a relaxed, casual beach town vibe, not like a beautiful architectural situation.
Yeah, and in that same sense, like, those three resorts make sense together. Boardwalk, Yacht Club, and Beach Club, because they're all kind of like American-esque themes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense that you would be in the French or Italian Riviera and be able to see the Caribbean. So, yeah. That whole line of sight theming type of thing is kind of gone out the window with Disney, you know, in the olden days. Yeah. That never would have happened. You wouldn't think of seeing Riviera and Caribbean Beach together.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. And I'm glad you brought it up, because even though the price might be a bit lower than Contemporary and Grand Floridian, they have options for theme park views into the Magic Kingdom, and this definitely doesn't. Barefoot Bay doesn't really come close to that.
Yeah.
No. So there are no touring plan reviews for this yet. It's just too new, and I think it was closed for so much of the year that the sample size must have been super small. So I guess we can give them credit. They didn't post results of 3 people answering a survey. But any final thoughts on Riviera? I mean, I wouldn't hesitate to recommend it to somebody. It's just, for me personally, at this stage of my life, I'm willing to come down a touch in terms of elegance and luxury to save quite a bit of money.
I also think that as far as, like, what the resort has to offer, there's not as much as other resorts. And that could be because it's so new. Like, we talk about the history of all the resorts, and it sounds like when these resorts open, there's typically additions, and, like, it's, they kind of open with the bare minimum and then add on from there. So who knows if Riviera could add more restaurants or add more recreation opportunities or whatever, but it like, the list of restaurants is short. The list of pools is short. It's just like a smaller, compact resort.
And at 300 rooms, it is tiny. And that's why I think it makes sense to be part of the DVC canon. Because if you want that feeling like, hey, I'm getting a 5-star accommodation experience, really the only other choice you have is Grand Floridian Villas. And this now is its own standalone thing, because Bay Lake Tower looks super nice, but that's a totally different type of style.
Yeah.
You know, that's modern and stuff. So, so a very nice place. Lots of beautiful stuff going on there. And I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Disney Daydream Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll join us for the next one. Remember, be kind to one another and take the time to find a magical moment in each and every day.